The scripture today is from Luke 10, 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And he answered, "You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
This is our lectionary gospel reading for the day. Someone asked me, what is a lectionary and why do you refer to it? It's a recognized list of readings that all of the various churches have agreed upon for, they generally last for a period of 3 years. And there's generally a gospel reading, an epistle reading, an Old Testament, and a psalm. And so most pulpits are preaching this today. And this happens to be the most recognizable passage in Scripture. Don't you think so? The Good Samaritan. First question is, what is a Samaritan? Anyway. Well, Samaritans in the time of this lesson believed that they were the true ancient Israelites. What happened was, you remember hearing about the exile? Remember when the Babylonians overthrew Jerusalem, took all of the Jewish people into exile, and the temple was destroyed? Not all of the Israelites were taken into exile. Those who were left in the ancient lands were the Samaritans. The major issue, and the reason for this, as you will be apparent, the major issue between the Samaritans and the Jews was where to worship God. Where was God's home? For Samaritans, it was Mount Gerizim, and for the Jews, it was the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. When you think Samaria, think Palestine. Does that explain something to you? This conflict, the conflict that is alluded to, and why the Good Samaritan being a Samaritan was so shocking to the hearers of Jesus that day, that same battle rages today, 2,500 years plus later. And a lawyer asked Jesus a question. "What shall I do to gain eternal life?" Now, the lawyer was was hoping to trip Jesus up in some ways that he could take it back to the Pharisees and the council and perhaps get Jesus into trouble. Unlike Marilyn, I'm not sure this lawyer's motives were entirely pure. Marilyn is our resident attorney, if you don't know her. What shall I do, he asked, to gain eternal life? And then another question is, really, is eternal life a prize for behaving properly? Well, that's another sermon for another day. But the question is there, isn't it? If someone asks me that, my answer to them is becoming more and more, wait and see. Wait and see what God has in store. We might be surprised. Jesus, though, turned the question back on the lawyer, didn't he? What does it say in your holy book? He out-lawyered the lawyer in that case. And the lawyer's answer was spot on correct. Every Jew knew the answer to this question. What is the main thing? If the main thing is to keep the main thing, what is the main thing? Love the Lord your God with all your, and all your strength, and your as. That's it. That's it. That was what was required. But if you think about it, loving with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength is more than just a pleasant emotion, isn't it? Have a nice day. It's more than that. Now, there's nothing wrong with wishing someone, have a nice day. You're in my thoughts and prayers this day. Thoughts and prayers to you. And you. And you too. It is total commitment. This sort of love is mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, it'll wear you out. Loving like that is a full-time job. Your religion, remember, boys and girls, what religion is. Ligare, your religion, you're being tied to God. That's what religion means, is your tiedness to God. Your being tied to God is not an add-on, is it? Like one more club that you join. One more club that you join. One more item on your weekly do-good to-do list. One more entry on your resume. Your religion is how you see and respond to the world around you. How you experience and are experienced by others. Your true religion will be apparent to others in short order, will it not? Because you see, your true God is to what or to whom you give your ultimate concern. What matters most in your life? The lawyer answered correctly, and then Jesus told him a story. A man was put upon by robbers and he was beaten and left to die on the side of the road, helpless and alone and messy. Two upright, respectable citizens came along the road that day. First of all, a priest came by. And then later, a Levite, which is from the house of Levi. They were the priestly caste. They did not have their possessions. They did not have part of the land that was given to the tribes. Their possession was God. They took care of God's temple and all that had to do with it. So the Levites were special. And they passed him by. Why do you think that? Give me some good reasons to pass a person by on the road. Ooh, look at the time. Oh, thoughts and prayers. But I gotta run. Fear. That guy might have others hiding behind that big rock. And if I stop to help him, I might get robbed by them. I'll play it safe. Is that an unreasonable thing? Not really, is it? It's not unreasonable. When you see someone in distress by on the side of the road, if you see a hitchhiker, people don't hitchhike like they used to. I used to hitchhike in Lubbock all the time. What is it that causes people to fear that? Well, it could be experience. The priest and the Levite might have tough stories to tell. What's another good reason for not assisting? Well, you are in need of some medical attention. And if I give that medical attention, I'm not indemnified from a lawsuit later by the lawyer who asked the question in the first place. So, as much as I'd like to help, I'm just not trained for this. Someone I'm sure will be along soon who can help you better than I. But the real reason was he was a stranger. He was just a stranger. The priest and Levite didn't know him. Had he been one of their congregation, they would have done something. But he was a stranger. Wow. We have good reasons all the time. And then a Samaritan came by. If this story were being told, as Jesus told it to a group of Jews, all the good Jews in the audience at this time would have gone, boo, hiss, hiss, boo. Samaritan bad. Levite good. And the Samaritan was moved to pity. Did you read that part? He was moved to pity, to concern. He really saw the man on the road as thou. You know what it means to see someone as thou, right? When you see someone as thou, you see them as a worthwhile child of God. And he saw the thou-ness in him. And then he took complete care of the wounded man. He was the ultimate good neighbor. We are good folks and we might have stopped and helped the best we could. But he was the ultimate good neighbor. He took him. He cleaned his wounds. He bound him up. He took him and he carried him to the inn. He left him with the innkeeper saying, here's some money. I'll bring you more money when I come back this way. Take care of him. The ultimate in good Samaritanhood. What is the message for us in this story? Number one, helping is not always neat and simple, is it? In fact, it hardly ever is neat and simple. Number two, we may have to set aside our own needs and priorities for a space of time to help. And we have such needs and priorities. We have such a set of needs and priorities that we put them on these little machines that are about that big. And we go to them constantly with what is next in our priorities and who needs us. Who needs us? Oh, there's a Facebook post that I must answer. Our needs and priorities might have to be set aside. And helping, and this is the tough part, helping may really involve risk. It really may involve risk, and you may be disappointed and taken advantage of. Not only that, the reward for helping may not be apparent. It may not be easy to see how the good that you've done has really helped. And in our lives, we are sometimes the helper and sometimes the helpee, are we not? You know, it's that old pay it forward like at Starbucks. When someone buys you a cup of coffee and you feel obligated to pay it forward. But helping like this is so different. Your obligation in this stance wasn't to the person, it was to God and your understanding of who God wants you to be. On our average days, we are average Samaritans. But on our really, really good days, we are good Samaritans. And the church's task is to bring out the goodness that God has placed within each of us. The church, you and me, the church is called to be the good Samaritans in a hurting world. Amen.